This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Fay. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's a beautiful day.
It's always a beautiful day on a Saturday. It's our favorite day of the week.
It is our favorite day.
You go around and socialize, just kind of putter around the yard or the ranch, or you know, go around town and stop by and visit some folks that you didn't get a chance to during the week. It's great.
And go by and have a little ice cream.
Oh, who doesn't love ice cream on a Saturday? In fact, that would be a really nutritious breakfast. I love ice cream for breakfast.
I think that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Let's say everybody should have Saturday morning ice cream every Saturday. I love that idea.
Faye said it, therefore
it must be
true.
You're talking my language.
Yeah, yeah.
you know, I'm not a traditionalist. Yeah. I think for breakfast and lunch, especially, you should have whatever you want within reason. Yeah. If it's a hot dog, go for it.
Yeah.
If it's ice cream, let's start with ice cream.
Ideally, I'd have ice cream for breakfast, a nice hot fudge sundae, and then something for lunch, and then for supper would probably be cereal.
Now, you know, that's real healthy, to end the day with cereal.
Yeah.
I know some people have been doing it for over 20 years, and they are just as slim as a teenager.
Really?
Both of them, husband and wife. Very slim. And I'm telling you, every night, as long as I've known, they usually have cereal at night.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yes, but now I know they eat a lot of ice cream, too.
Ooh, see? This is all falling into place.
It is. They always have a little ice cream. They eat cereal. And they're the healthiest people I know.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to come up with a name for this diet and write a book.
Let's write one. And be sure we include a lot of goodies in there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just love the idea of ice cream, an ice cream sundae. You know, there's so many things you can do with ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
It is not limited.
Oh, no. You put it in a cone or you put it in a dish. You put different toppings on it. You can do anything with ice cream. Milkshakes.
Oh, yes. I do that for my grandchildren.
Really?
I fix them milkshakes. You put one cup of milk and a cup of ice cream in it.
Mm-hmm.
Put the blender on, and they're ready to go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nothing like a good homemade milkshake.
That's right. And it's good for you.
Yeah. It's good for you. Full of calcium.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, there's so many things we could teach people about ice cream.
You just turned ice cream into a healthy food group. I love it. It's
yes. I mean, it is healthy, folks. Well, and always think about it. If we can get it from Bluebell, we can get it sugar-free, but it's getting hard to get.
Yeah.
You just can't hardly buy it. I don't know why. They can't keep up with sugar-free.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. We need to write them a letter.
We need to.
We're suffering.
Yeah. Or just make your own in the backyard. Put it in the thing with the little crank and you crank it. Or have the grandkids crank it.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Strawberry ice cream is very good in a homemade freezer, by the way.
Yes. And it's healthy.
It is. And you can also make pineapple ice cream. And then just good old-fashioned vanilla, which is delicious.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just a fan of ice cream.
Yes, me too. Oh, I love ice cream.
I think, yeah. And people nowadays don't even have a freezer. And the new generation doesn't even know about the old-fashioned ice cream freezers. They don't know about that.
Oh, the big deep one?
Yeah, the 5-gallon one is what I'm thinking about, or the gallon one anyway.
Yeah.
And that gallon one, you know, everybody's got where they have an electric one, but most people don't even have those anymore. What's wrong with the world?
I don't know.
I mean, they're missing out on some of life's really great pleasures.
Well, they're not living for ice cream like we are.
That's right. And, you know, there's all kinds of things you can put with it.
Yeah. And ice cream is good all year round. It doesn't have to be just in summer. It could be in the fall. It could be in the middle of winter. It doesn't, you know, like in the holidays, you take some ice cream and you put some cookie, like Christmas cookie pieces in there, and you're golden.
Well, and I always got in front of the fireplace and ate my ice cream. Mm,
yeah.
You know, when it's really cold outside, get your ice cream, get in front of the fireplace, and have it right there.
Yeah, it's perfect.
And, if a person had that, they'd be so happy. You wouldn't have to give them $1 million.
No.
Just give them a little ice cream round.
Man, or $1 million of ice cream.
That's right. Oh, yeah, I love that. Oh, man. That and a Ford F-150 or 250, the new ones.
There you go.
I mean, they have changed those up a lot. And, they're $78,000.
Wow.
Yes, wow. So people have got to do business with me and make a lot of money.
Yes, well, then let's give out that phone number and get the ball rolling.
Okay, it's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage. I was thinking about my neighbor and almost said 3106.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, I was thinking about Ivy Cottage. And, people need to visit them.
Well, yeah.
I mean, they need the business.
Well, but, you're their official spokesperson unofficially.
That's right. And, business is so good in Midland, Odessa. People are shopping themselves to death.
Well, yeah. I mean, things are booming so well. I mean, you look at all the apartment rents is a really good gauge of the economy. Those are going through the roof. You got businesses that are opening. You got construction that's going on. All these things are happening, which is a sign of a very healthy economy. And I think we're probably in a position here in West Texas that probably most of the rest of the country is not in this type of thing because of the oil boom, because of our natural resources. And all that it provides us.
And remember the sand. That sand, now everybody's buying up these ranches, these farms, every piece of land they can to get that sand.
Man.
And all these big companies have went into business buying sand. And then the other people are trucking the sand out. It's the darndest thing I ever heard of. I didn't know in my lifetime people would be buying sand, just old sand. I mean, can't grow anything on it, but by gosh, it has turned into a $1 trillion proposition.
Oh, I remember 25 years ago, we said the same thing about water. Nobody's going to buy water. Well, now look at us.
Yes, we're trying to get as much water as we can.
Yeah.
And of course, remember, when we have a drought out here, this gentleman who's one of my clients, he has the big trucks, and he trucks the water over here and sells it to all these people for their yards.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he charges, it's either $50 a load, I believe, for that water.
Wow.
Now, who would have ever thought that is a big, big deal?
Yeah, between that and bottled water and, filtered water. Water is a big business.
You have to have filtered water here.
Yeah.
If you're not going to an RO station, you've got to be using huge bottles of Ozarka.
Yeah.
The water is so bad.
I made the mistake once. When I first moved here, I made pasta, and nobody told me.
Oh, no.
I know. This was like several years ago. I didn't know, and I made the pasta, and I ate it, and I took the first bite, and I'm like, what is wrong with this pasta? So I threw it out. And then I realized, I used sink water to boil it in.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I didn't do that again.
Nobody uses the water here. It is just, it's so horrible. I don't know whose idea it was to bring all that water over here that is so bad.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that's just terrible.
So there's all these natural resources that we have here, all the water industry, we bring that in. But then, the sand going out, the oil, and then all the side businesses that go along with all of these things. So there's a lot of areas that the economy here in West Texas is creating all the, this boom in many different areas. And so this is a great time because people are making It's fair to say that people are making extra money, right? That'd be accurate.
They're making a lot more than they were. Remember when the boom went down and people were losing their jobs and people were laying them off and cutting back their salary.
Yeah.
Now, the salaries are back up more than they ever have been.
Bonuses?
Yes, everybody's getting bonuses again. And everybody I know is employed. Anybody that's not employed, there's something wrong with them.
Yeah.
Got to be.
If they want to be employed, they are.
That's right. Anybody that wants to work can work. If it's nothing but driving a truck, because those are paying a huge salary, if you can drive a truck to pick up the sand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So everybody's 401k should be doing well. Everybody should have an IRA. If they don't, they should be over here knocking on our door. If they have one, they should be knocking on our door.
Yeah.
And procrastination should be out the window.
Yeah.
Everybody that wants to have a good retirement should be over here, quit procrastinating, and talk to us.
There's really no excuse at this point.
No, there's none. I don't want to hear all those excuses everybody gives, you know. Well, I was waiting around. I stumped my toe, but I was going to come see you.
And there's a lot of opportunity because we were talking, I think, in the last couple of weeks about how policies were a little bit slow coming in. It's just the way the market works. You know, there's ebbs and flows. But right now, you said that yesterday, was it yesterday that you just closed this big...
Yes, we closed $1.7 million.
Wow.
Now, once we close it, then we have to get the name changed. That takes about 30 days, and then we're ready to go. But we may be putting people in it before the name change. Mm-hmm. But we also have some smaller ones. We have about 7 policies that this next week should be going to closing.
Really?
So we should have enough policies to get everybody going again. Whoever was first in line, you know, we'll take it as they come. We always know who should go first. And we closed some yesterday. And what always tickles me is the people, when their money comes back, they get antsy, they get jittery, and they want that money invested right away. Well, it takes some time. I told my secretary a week ago, somebody was harassing me about it, said, my money's been sitting there for several weeks. I said, now tell them to be patient or let me send them their money. I go, you know, I can only do so much, and I'm doing everything I possibly can.
Well, it's a well-detailed process, so there's a lot of paperwork that needs to be done.
That's right, and we've done it over and over. Anybody that's been with us 3 or 4 years knows how it works, and they never just say anything because they know I'm doing my best. I'm doing it as fast as I can. And, you know, we had that big policy that rescinded, and then we had that little one that rescinded that the family got the money. I mean, that was heartbreaking, but it can happen. And so, you know, if they've been with us a while, they know all the things that can happen, and they know that we put them in a policy as fast as we can. You know, we search for the policies. We spend a lot of money getting them the policy. So, you know, we want them in those policies. We don't want their money sitting there. We know they don't make money when it's sitting there. Well, they make a little bit, but not enough to count, okay?
Yeah.
So this next week, we should be closing quite a few policies.
Good. So there's a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of money that's floating around the economy here. And so things are looking really, really good. And so this is the time where people should go ahead and take, because I've heard people say before, maybe not in the last, you know, several weeks or months, but in the past, I've heard people say that one of the reasons that they don't do anything is because they don't have anything extra. They're, you know, the budget is real tight. And so now that things are really blossoming and there is all this extra income that's going around everywhere, people can take advantage of that. And instead of going out and, you know, taking a trip or blowing it on something, actually do something to grow that money and get the ball started for retirement.
That's right. And if they're 45, 55 years old, you know, they've got plenty of time to get it done. If they're 65, they're getting close to retirement. Whatever they have then is what we're going to invest.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the people, you know, have got $200,000 or $300,000, and it's making money maybe, but not what they need to make. Or they're getting closer to retirement, so they need to gather it up, bring it to us, where they know what they're going to make. You know, with the stock market, yes, you may make a lot, but then it may drop back down too. So the best way to do it is to say, I want that money where I know what I'm going to get back. And with us, they know they're going to get their principal back. They know they're going to get interest back. It's in the contract. It's stipulated. And all the safety features are there. The bank handles the money. We don't handle their money. We do not touch their money. And the bank handles the premiums. They make sure the premiums are paid. There may not even be any premiums owed. Some of them have that clause in there that if you're sick, they will take care of the premiums on that life policy. And every once in a while, we buy one that's got it covered. So there's all kinds of good things happening on those policies. If it comes in early, let's say you're going to make 24% in 24 months. Well, if it comes in 12, you get the same amount of money, but you get it earlier.
Which means you can turn around and reinvest earlier, and that just it speeds up that growth process.
That's right. And I didn't tell you, we had two policies come due this week. Flurry, which had went a year over, and everybody that had to pay premiums on Flurry, Mr. Flurry has passed away, and you're going to get paid in about 6 weeks. And I believe it's about $2 million altogether. He had three policies. And then Mr. Young passed away, and Mr. Young had went over. So these are two policies that had went over a year, and now they have come due, and everybody's going to get paid. So that's a good thing for today.
Yeah. So when you say they go over, I know that's one of the risks of this type of an investment
is
that the policy could go over because people may have to pay those premiums. But when that happens, the one thing people need to understand is that it's only a small fraction of your profit. It's not like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to pay this premium and I've got nothing left and I've wasted the investment. It's not that at all.
No. It simply means you've got to pay some premium. And I should have looked it up. And I don't even remember what on Flurry, how much it was, but I know, I think it was $2 million in policies. So everybody was in that. They have had to pay, and now they're through paying, and they're going to get their profit. And on Young, it's the same way.
And it's a substantial profit, too.
Yes, it is. And I think the people that were in Young were also in Flurry.
Oh, really?
I believe I looked it up and it had some of the same people.
Wow.
So a lot of them are in two policies that came due at the same time.
Cool. So just happened to get a double Christmas gift in July.
That's right. They're just going to get paid twice about the same time.
Wow.
Because they both came due about the same time. And everybody had been asking about Mr. Flurry. And we had told him, you know, that I think, well, we had gotten him a new LE, and I don't remember what the new LE said. I think it was longer than right now. I think they said it was going to go long, and, of course, you know, it just went a year.
Mm-hmm.
So both those people are going to get paid about the same time.
How cool.
I thought so, too. And we're always glad when something comes due and people get paid.
Sure. So for those who have never actually done this before and they're not really sure how the process works, what we're talking about in investing in is life insurance policies. Because I know this is an oversimplified characterization, but basically the person sells the policy. You come in and bid on it and buy it, and if you're awarded it, then you get it, and people can put in their share of the policy, and then they basically just sit and wait for the policy to mature.
That's exactly right. Then going about their business, and then when it matures, they get an email from me saying, your policy has matured, here's what you made, and you'll get paid in about 6 weeks. That's always what the email says.
No need to monitor, no need to be up in the middle of the night, no need to call Faye and say, hey, where is this thing? No, you'll take care of everything. No need to worry, just relax.
That's right. And then after we know that the policy's matured, lots of people on that sixth week, they're sending an email. It's been 6 weeks. When am I going to get paid? And it's usually 3 or 4 days after they send that note that we get the check. But remember, the check comes to the bank. The bank waits for the check to clear, usually 3 days, and then they put it in your account. So it's a great, the way it works is streamlined. You know, the bank sends off for the death certificate, then the insurance company pays the claim, and then they send it to the bank, and then the bank puts it in your account. And that's the way it ought to work. You know, it's a lot safer to always have the bank as our trustee. They act as trustee on every policy. We pay them a large amount of money to serve as trustee. That's, you know, a lot of people say, how many backup people do you have in your back office? I said, well, we employ the bank to do all the back-end work for us. And that way it takes the load off of us, and it's somebody acting on the behalf of our client and us. And it works out beautifully.
Which I would imagine is great, because instead of having a couple of people, you employ the whole bank, which means you've got an entire institution, and this is what they do. This is their sole focus. This is what they do from the time they get up in the morning till the time they lay down in the bed. So this is their only focus. They do one thing, and they do it well.
That's right, and we use the trust department. The trust department of a bank knows how to handle this, because this is like a trust, because they are acting on behalf on our clients, and they're the trustees.
Yeah.
So they see everything. They know how much money everybody's got. They know what kind of accounts they have, if they have an IRA, if they have a regular account, if they have a trust account. A lot of our people do have a trust. So, you know, everybody has different kinds of policies, different kinds of accounts, and the bank knows them all. And as I said, they know who gets which dollar every time a policy comes due, because they have a copy of the spreadsheet. We do a spreadsheet on every policy we write, and it says, okay, there's 10 people in this policy. Joe Blow gets $10,000. The other person gets $150,000, you know. So they know how much they're going to get. The bank knows all this. They know who to pay and how much to pay. So it simplifies the whole process when a policy matures.
So they know all of this ahead of time, so it's not like when the policy does mature, there's not like five guys sitting around in a conference room around a table with spreadsheets everywhere trying to scratch their head and figure out, okay, now what do we do? All this is already mapped out ahead of time. So when the policy matures, basically, again, oversimplification, they hit a button and it's done.
That's exactly right. So it's pretty streamlined, and you know, we've been doing this for years. It took us a long time to get it right, but we do have it right, and we do it right, and that's why it works.
Mm-hmm.
I said, checks are never made to us.
Well, I mean, there's so many checks and balance systems in here. It's not like, because I know sometimes, you know, people don't always realize that when you invest in the stock market, your person can kind of do whatever they want to. They don't have the same strictness per se. Is that a right way to say it?
Yes.
They can kind of do whatever they want to with your money. And that's not the case at all with a life settlement.
No, this is very well regulated. We have all kinds of rules that we have to follow in order to do this. We have to employ an SEC attorney to do our contracts. And we have to, there's so many rules that we have to go by. The way we do it is the accepted rule, the accepted way that we have to do it.
So it's regulated, and that helps people, that helps protect people, which should make people feel a little bit more comfortable all in itself, as opposed to other types of more risky investments like the stock market. I mean, we see things that can happen on Wall Street all the time, just this past week, like what we saw with Facebook. You know, I mean, things can happen at any time, and it's a much calmer type of investment than Wall Street, because outside factors don't affect it. So, you know, whatever happens with Facebook or whatever happens with something across the ocean, or, you know, if somebody does something, if a CEO quits and things are in an upheaval on Wall Street, does not affect this investment whatsoever.
That's right. And, you know, how much did Facebook lose? $14 billion?
It was a lot.
Yeah, $14 billion.
Yeah. In, like, what, 2 hours?
Yeah, I mean, it happened real quick. That's one thing about the stock market. If it goes down, it happens real fast.
Yeah.
Is there anything you can do about it?
And that makes other people who are investing in other entities, it makes them nervous. And so, oh my gosh, Facebook went down. I wonder if my stocks are going down. I wonder, you know, what's going to happen? Is all my retirement gone? But the great thing about a life settlement is when something like that happens, you go about your business. It doesn't affect you. You don't think about it. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to go online. You don't have to panic. You don't have to start making phone calls. You don't have to start planning on going back to work. You don't have to do any of that. You just sit back, relax, keep on going about your business.
That's exactly right, because it's a different type of investment. It's based on life insurance on people who are terminally ill. These are people who, you know, the doctors have said they're not going to live long. And so, you know, we've helped them by buying their policy. They can get medication. They can get a lot of treatment at these huge hospitals. And it is expensive, $100,000 a month. Looks to me like now. And then we can help our clients. Our clients need to make money. They need to have money for retirement. And this is a pretty safe way to do it.
Yeah. And people need, you know, people who are diagnosed with stage four cancer, they oftentimes need to have some kind of financial relief. They need that outlet so that they can pay for those expensive treatments. You said, what, $100,000 a month now in some cases?
Yes, it is.
That's
and,
a lot.
I find that people with small policies need it as bad as the bigger policies.
Mm-hmm.
This next week, the ones we're closing on are all fairly small policies, like $250,000, $500,000. Yeah. So those people need the money as bad as the people who have a $1 million policy.
Yeah. And so for this whole thing to work, for them to get their the money so they can go get treatment, they need somebody on the other end to buy that. And then that's where you come in, and you're bidding against other companies, and if you're awarded with it, then you've got the investment, and you bring people in to make, you know, to invest in it. And then all they really do is just wait for it to mature. So they set it and forget it. You're not up in the middle of the night checking anything. You just wait. And then if you've got the patience, it's going to pay off.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So a person, all they have to do is, you know, put their money in, wait till that person passes away, and they get paid every time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it works. And as we've talked about, most of our people have large IRAs, so they may have five policies, they may have 10. And as each one of those matures, we just go back and do it again until they say they need to start taking cash. Now, once they need cash, then we put so much cash in there, like a two-year amount, and keep it at that level for them all the time. But a lot of people say, no, I'm not going to need it for 2 to 5 years. So that gives us a good window to actually make them quite a bit of money.
And this is all, I mean, the theme here is that this is all about planning. This is not the type of investment where you come in and you invest in it, and then all of a sudden, you know, in you know, 6 months or a year, all of a sudden you're a bajillionaire and you can go about your business. It's not that at all. This is part of it's one drop of water in a comprehensive ocean of planning for retirement. But the good thing is you don't have to do anything. There's not like there's any kind of maintenance. Once you set it up, it's at that point just a matter of taking the profits, reinvesting, taking the profits, reinvesting. And it's very, very simple. It works, and it could not be really any easier as far as I can tell, right?
No, I mean, if we do it over and over again, the formula is there. We don't change that formula. You know, we don't do elderly. You know, we had that happen. We don't do that. You know, our cutoff is 74 to 75. But most of the cases we get are 55 to 65 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we'll get a real young person, but not very often. And the young people are usually 30, 34 years old.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes they have a bad cancer and it comes fast.
My goodness.
Yeah. So we have bought some of those. A couple of them, the guy worked as in a parts store, and he went to the doctor for a checkup, and it was there. I mean, it was already advanced by the time he found out.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we do some really heavy-duty policy sometimes.
So when somebody says, okay, because I know we were talking about, you know, you have some smaller policies coming up this coming week, and then this past week, you know, you had the big one that that matured, or actually two. So when people come in for the first time, or maybe if they're in their first or second, or even maybe third, but they're fairly young in the process, when they see these and they say, oh my gosh, I want the big one, because they can get a bigger bang for their buck, is that necessarily true? Is that right for everybody? Or is it just a different type of opportunity?
I think it's a different type of opportunity.
So really it's about the individual investor. It's not that, well, gosh, if you get a small one, it's not that great. Or if you get a big one, it's not super.
Well, it's like this. The small policies, you know, we may put two people in, or we might put one big investor in it, you know, depending how big it is. Like if it's $100,000, that's only a one-person deal. If it's $250,000, we might put two people in it. And we have some people that want the small policies. Sometimes they want to be by themselves in a policy. Then we have the people that want big policies, you know. So everybody has a different way they want to go. So we're listening to them. Whatever they're interested in, that's what we're going to try to do for them.
So is there, and I think I know the answer already, but I'm going to ask anyway, is there any advantage or disadvantage to you know, one versus the other, or is it just really whatever the investor is comfortable with?
I think it's just whatever the investor is comfortable with. You know, whatever they like best, that's what we're going to do.
Okay. All right, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
All right, now every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia, and you always bring interesting things to the table. And sometimes it's facts. Sometimes it's a great story. Sometimes it's a place to visit, something to put on our bucket list. So what are we talking about today?
Well, now, this is a bucket list deal today.
All right.
Bucket list project. We're going to talk about Toledo Bend Reservoir. And you not being a Texan, I know you don't know where that's at.
No.
This is in East Texas. Toledo Bend Reservoir goes right down the Sabine River. And it's on two sides. Half of it is in Texas. Half of it's in Louisiana.
Oh.
Yeah. And this old thing that used to just, when it would flood everything. Their farms, their homesteads, years and years ago, everywhere. This is also where Lafitte was up and down the river many, many years ago. He loved the Sabine River because it went all the way to the coast. Let me tell you a little bit about it. Years ago, the people on our side of the border and on the other side, they got together and they said, you know, we need to do something about this flooding. And they said, let's build a power plant. They said, well, let's build a dam. And they talked about it. They got the legislature involved on both sides to build this power plant and to build this huge dam. And they did not use any federal money. This is just two states. It took them a lot of years, but they got together and they built it. Now, the way it was paid for on Louisiana's side, they had some old money from the Civil War. And they said, you know, we've got the Civil War pension money. And they said, let's put it into the reservoir project. So it's kind of funny that they had this old funding from the Civil War, and that's how they funded it on the Louisiana side.
It's amazing that something sat around that long.
Oh, yeah, they let it just sit there. And so then they built the Toledo Bend Dam, spillway, power plant, and so it, you know, provides electricity over there in that part of the country. Now, on the Louisiana side, there's two or three counties that it covers. And the Sabine covers two or three counties over there, DeSoto Parish and Sabine Parish. And then, of course, it runs along Logansport and Shelby, Panola, and Newton counties in Texas. This thing covers, so it's such a big thing, it is covers 185,000 acres.
Oh, wow.
It's the largest man-made body of water in Texas. It's the largest in the South. It's the fifth largest in the United States.
Really? And, fifth in this in the whole country?
Yeah. And this is along the Sabine River. And the maximum length of it is 65 miles. It's 10 miles wide. And it covers, as I said, that huge acreage. It's 60 feet deep in most places. A lot of places, it's 110 feet deep.
Wow.
Yeah. And it runs, the shore runs 1,264 miles. So this is a huge deal. Now, the only thing people have to watch when they come there to rent a cabin, to fish, all kinds of recreation, it has lots of stumps in it. So it's not like you can take a fast boat into the Sabine River.
Ah, because you may hit something.
Yeah, you've got to have a smaller boat, really just fishing boats is all you should have, because this thing has all these stumps in places that makes it really hard to navigate, and you don't want to run into a stump out there in the middle of that river.
Yeah, especially if you're not expecting it.
That's right. You're going fast, you will have a hole in the hull of your little boat.
You don't want a hole in the hull.
Good. But it is a wonderful place to fish. Recreation is great. And, you know, any lake that's got these stumps in it, you'll have lots of fish. I mean, those fish love those old tree stumps, and they'll get down there and try to get under all that. So, and they have four or five kinds of fish there. They have cabins on both sides. You can fish on either side. And Louisiana has recently redid a lot of theirs and made it even nicer on the Louisiana side. I guess keeping up with the Joneses, trying to, you know, make it as nice as it is in Texas. So it's a great place, and I wanted everybody to know and remember it, because a lot of people go to all these other lakes, and I don't know if they remember to go over in East Texas to Toledo Bend or not. But it's a wonderful river, just sightseeing. It's a great place to go. But for fishing and family vacation, it's a great place in Texas to visit.
Well, it sounds like it could be a very calm, relaxing, peaceful place.
It is. It is a calm place, very peaceful. I know a lot of people that have done a lot of fishing over the years at Toledo Bend. And as I said, it's got cabins on both sides. You can go to either side. There's cabins, all kinds of recreation there. You can swim. You can fish. It's just a great family place. And then think of all the history on the old place.
Wow.
About the pirates, all these other things. And the river goes forever. So it's a great place to visit.
And just knowing that they took some of that old Civil War money to create the whole thing, it's kind of a neat story.
It is. I mean, who would have thought that they had this money from the Civil War, and they said, well, you know, why don't we go ahead and put it in this dam project and get rid of that money? And it was supposed to have been for pensions from the Civil War.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was there for. And they said, well, I think we'll just use that. Can you imagine after the Civil War, they kept it all those years and didn't use it?
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
So they decide, you know, we'll just do it. But it's unusual that two states could agree on anything, much less to build this plant together, a hydroelectric plant, to build a dam, a spillway between the two states.
And to have the body of water be the fifth biggest in the country, that's impressive, too. I mean, there's a lot of big water places in the United States. So to be in the top five like that, that's a big deal.
Yes, and you know, they completed it in 1969. It took them quite a few years. And they said, well, we really did it, you know, for water supply and power supply. But, it became a really great waterway. And, of course, it covers, in actuality, 200,000 acres.
Wow, that's a lot. That's massive.
It is massive. So, and it's the only public water conservation dam and hydroelectric plant in the state of Texas.
So cool.
Yeah. And, as I said, the shoreline itself runs 1,200 miles.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's That's a long way.
Yeah. So, you know, there's picnicking, there's swimming, boating, fishing, camping, hunting. You can go over there and hunt. So it's got so many possibilities. Almost anybody could go and enjoy it at any time.
You could easily take a bunch of people, whether it's a family or a couple of friends or whatever, spend a whole week, and everybody could, even in theory, just go off and do their own thing, and you do never have to leave the area. You do it all right there.
That's what I was thinking, because you've got the cabins, you've got everything right there. You know, you've got picnic areas, you've got everything. And anybody that really likes to fish, like your kids, they can fish from shore. They don't even have to be in a boat. And swimming, you know, it's a great place to be swimming. It's really just a great recreation and family place, I think.
Wow, how cool. Toledo Bend Reservoir.
And dam, yes. They can look at everything. They can see the dam. They can see that big, huge spillway. You know, just sightseeing is another thing you can go and do.
Yeah. Wow.
And you can do it on both sides. That's what I like. You can go up the Louisiana side and fish or play, and then come back to the Texas side.
Sounds like a great way to relax for a week or so.
I think it would be. So that's one of my recommendations.
Cool. We'll put it on the list. This is
put
Your Money
your
with
list.
Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right there, right next to Ivy Cottage, CVS Pharmacy, and Walgreens.
Yeah, and CVS and Walgreens are always pretty much right across the street from each other.
They are. It's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
You know, used to I would go for a prescription at Walgreens. Mm. It would take hours. You'd have to sit there in line. So somebody figured out, you know, they need another drugstore here.
Yeah.
So CVS went in, and now it's relieved all that pressure.
Well, yeah, a little competition is always good.
Competition's good to the soul, they tell me.
Yeah. So we're talking about investing, and we're talking about how it takes time. What, and I know there's other alternatives, so we'll get into that here in just a second, but what type of an investor would be the type of person that would really find a life settlement to be an ideal type of investment?
Well, the first thing I would say is someone that's been in and out of the stock market for years, and they've had the ups, they've had the downs, and they don't want at retirement to have a down. Mm-hmm. And they're going, you know, we've had some good years and we've had some really bad years in the stock market. Here's how much we've actually made. Maybe we should get it to a safer investment where that we know what we're going to make. We know that it's just a life insurance policy. You know, that's the main thing. When you think about what is investment, we're investing in someone's life insurance policy. So you've got that collateral there, and that's what I like. I like that thing. I think investors do, too, when they think about it. Which is safer, the stock market or a life insurance policy? Now, I personally think this edges it out a little bit. I mean, for me, I don't own any stock. Everything I have is on the other side, you know, the life settlement business.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, if you're 50 years old or 55, you may want to switch. And, of course, definitely if you're 60 or 65 and you're fixing to retire, you need it in safety. You need to take that and say, if I can move it now, I will. If I can move half of it, whatever, and get it in a life settlement where you know how it's going to pay out.
Well, yeah, because
stock market, we don't know how that's going to pay out.
Well, we don't. I mean, you can get up in the morning and you know, be worth X amount of money, and then, you know, by the time you get to lunch, it's all gone.
Yeah, and that's not a good way to operate.
No, and I would imagine probably as people get closer to retirement, they think, okay, we've run a long, hard race in the stock market. You know, let's pull back a little bit because we can't obviously keep at that pace because things can happen. We all know things can happen, and you don't want to get wiped out right before you go to retire, or even just after. That's not the time to lose literally everything, because people panic, and then oftentimes people have to go back to work. So that's not a good idea. So anytime that you can take any profit that you've got, no matter where the source is from, take it into a more of a conservative type of investment, it really kind of, it secures thing up. And one of the things you always talk about is being diverse. So you have a little here, you a little there, and you should be okay, right?
That's right. And you know, if people are not diversified, if they've got all mutual funds, and the mutual funds go down, well, the value of what you're going to take home with for retirement is going to be reduced.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I like knowing where some of my money is going to be. I mean, I would have it all there, but that's just me. Everybody has to make their own decision. How safe do they want their money to be? How do they want, when they get ready to retire, do they want it in a lump sum? Do they want it in life insurance policies? Do they want it over here in a CD where they can make 2%? You know, everybody has to make their own decision. But I would quit procrastinating and get it lined out.
We talk about extremes a lot. You know, what happens if you do really, really well? And then we talk about, you know, oftentimes about what happens when the stock market crashes, or if it crashes and you're wiped out completely. But oftentimes there's a lot of middle ground that we often don't address like we probably should. Whereas, you know, maybe value of things may go down. So you may have 20 or 30 years of Wall Street types of investments. You may be set to retire, and you think, okay, I'm going to retire in a year or in 6 months or whatever it is. The numbers are here. We're in great shape. And then between that assessment date and retirement date, something happens and the value of things go down. And you may not be completely wiped out, but we've seen many investors have less to work with. And now all of a sudden, they're redoing their retirement budget. And instead of, you know, traveling to Europe, maybe they'll travel to Dallas. Or instead of...
There you go.
instead of eating steak.
That's an extreme right there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Instead of having steak every night for dinner, now we're having ramen noodles. And so these are the types of adjustments that people oftentimes make. And the reality is no, it doesn't happen every time, but what if it does? And so I think that's the thing that people really need to take into consideration, that no, it may not happen. You may not get wiped out. You may not have your life savings cut in half. You may be just fine. But do you want to take that chance? How much can you afford to lose as you get closer to retirement? Do you want to start over 6 months before retirement date? I think that's really the bottom line, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anybody wants to do that. They don't even want to think about it. We don't want to contemplate anything that bad happening. But everybody should remember 2008, 2000. I mean, if you go back every so years, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends how conservative you want to be. And if you talk to your wife, they usually want to be pretty conservative.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, depending what age you are. You know, if you're 50, 55, definitely if you're 60, you're fixing to retire, come and talk to us. See if this is something you want to do.
Yeah. And we saw some of those.
If it works for you.
We saw some of those extremes just last week. We saw one of each. We saw Amazon had an all-time high. Facebook had an all-time low. So, I mean, you know, there's the extremes and there's the middle. So what about the person who's listening and they say, oh, geez, you know, I'm not sure about this. I don't know if I really qualify for this type of investment program. There are other ways to get ready for retirement that don't involve life settlement. So what would you recommend for somebody
like
that?
Well, before I tell them about that, let me tell them what they're going to have to do the life settlement.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, they have to be worth either $1 million without their home, or they have to make $200,000 to qualify for the life settlements. And that is a federal rule. That's not Fay's rule. And then if you don't qualify for that, then you can do annuities. Annuities are a good, safe investment. They've been around a long, long time, over 100 years. And so I would say you still have to have $50,000 to do an annuity.
Mm-hmm.
You can't come in with $5,000 or $10,000.
So there's really something for just about Well, just about anybody. If they're not to the point where they can do an annuity, what course would you say to somebody
like
that?
Well, if they can't even do an annuity, they need to save their money till they can.
Okay.
You know, you've got to save some money. You can't be out here blowing it all.
Yeah, yeah. And this is the time, like we were talking about, at the beginning of the show, this is the time to go ahead and save that money with increased wages, with bonuses that are coming out, with, you know, the economy the way it is in West Texas. This is the time to, if you're not in a position to start investing, at least start saving so that you can get ready. And I hate to use the term get ready to get ready, but really, we're talking about a plan that happens over many, many years. So, you know, if this is where you're starting, then that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But go ahead and get started.
Most people are going to live 25 years. I saw today the world's oldest woman has died, and she was 101.
Oh.
So be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
I mean, you might live a long time.
Yeah.
And you want to be sure that you're not eating Roman noodles when you're old. I mean, that's a terrible thought.
You did that in college. You don't need to do that in retirement.
That's right. We don't want to do that. So, you know, people need to quit procrastinating. Come and talk to me. See if it's what they want to do. See if this is the right plan for them.
Is it fair to say that a lot of people that come see you, they're going about their business, they kind of have a general idea of where their assets are, but then when they start, you know, really drilling down and gathering up their information, they find that they have assets or 401ks that they forgot about, or they have some other type of asset someplace that they didn't take into consideration, they didn't realize they had. Is that a fair analysis for a number
of
people?
Yes, it is. A lot of people forget that the 401k can be counted as an asset. They'll be saying, I've got this little farm, or I've got this ranch, I've got a lake house, and then they'll say to me, well, can I count the 401? Of course. That's one of your biggest assets.
Mm-hmm.
So count that. Count your bonus. What is your bonus going to be this year? Or what was it last year? If your bonus is probably $50,000, $75,000, I know a lot of people, their bonus is 50, 75, or 125. I know a lot of people, their bonus was 125 this year.
Wow. That's enough to get started right there.
It is. That should help them a tremendous amount. So they need to also go to our website, look up what people have made this year. Look up what they made last year. That's really important.
There's also a number of people who are entrepreneurs. They own their own business. That also is an asset.
Absolutely. That's a big asset, usually $2 to $4 million.
Yeah.
So that may be worth more than a 401k.
Yeah. So people may have the resources and just not realize it, but they've got to go ahead and start gathering all that together. And so people can come in and they can talk to you and sit down. They don't have to have everything in order. They can just come in and get some information. I'm sure probably people who have never done this before or aren't really familiar with the whole process. I'm sure you have people come in and they just need information, right?
That's exactly right. So they come in, they talk to me, they go home and talk to their wife, bring the wife back, and then we're probably going to do something.
Cool. So do you find that the people who have come to talk to you, because I know you talk about one investor, especially in Odessa, one that we always talk about, they started talking to you, and it took like a year before they actually moved forward with it, right?
That's exactly right. It took them a long time. And they finally came over and said, oh, we're ready now, and I never did figure that out. It was over my head. I just couldn't figure it out. But I know that they had planned to all the time.
Just got busy.
There was never a time when they weren't going to do it.
Yeah.
But finally they said, we're ready. And they called and made an appointment.
Well, you know, I think people are always at some point, they get busy, you know, they forget, they put a piece of paper in their pocket and then they put it in, you know, in the drawer and then they stumble on it. And I think they think, you know, a lot of times, well, gosh, this is going to be really, really hard. It's really not, because that type of investment, you set it up and then you take care of the rest. There's very little maintenance on the actual investor's behalf.
That's right. I mean, they don't have a lot of work to do.
So the point is, though, to get started. So
that's right.
What
We're
does somebody
come see us?
What is so for somebody who's listening right now and they're driving around in their truck, they're saying, "I really need to start doing something." Faye's right. I got to get the ball rolling. What do you recommend they do today?
I would get whatever they want to talk to me about. Bring it with you, come make an appointment, come talk to me, and there's nothing to be afraid of. Okay.
Cool. All right, Faye, one last time. What's your number to make an appointment at?
877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage. You can't miss us.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.